Tonight, due to the nature of what we are doing after services, I'm going to push my regular sermon on the book of Luke till next week, and wanted to present some things that I have been thinking about relative to where we are at as a congregation right now, and the things that are upon the threshold and really the doorstep for us in the next few years. So the title of what, if you look at this from a sermon perspective, the title of what I'm going to present tonight is "For Such a Time as This." And that sentiment, of course, is taken from Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, where Esther, in a very unique situation, was advised that perhaps she had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know, the Bible portrays the history of many exciting or extraordinary events in the history of humanity. And we look at the things that happened in the Bible and the people that were involved, the places that were involved, as something unique, something that would be out of our realm of experience. But that's simply not the case. In many of these instances, it was ordinary people and ordinary nations who were in situations and times and periods of time where the actions that they chose, the courses that they pursued in life, had a dramatic impact on the cause of God in their particular time. And we might say that these people, these nations, faced three things that I would like to use as a framework for what I want us to consider tonight. There were critical moments, there were extraordinary needs, and then there were God-honoring possibilities. Now think about critical moments for just a moment. Take your mind all the way back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, where God had given Adam and Eve instruction on what to do and what not to do. And then Satan challenged that instruction from God. That was a critical moment in time. In fact, you and I today are still affected by the decisions that were made at that particular moment in time. Think about after the Israelites came out of Egypt and they made their way to Kadesh Barnea, and God said, "Go into the land and possess it." Critical moment in time. And the decision that was made at that point, the decision to follow the advice of the 10 unfaithful spies, affected them surely for the next 40 years, but even more than that. I think about Jericho, as we have most recently studied in our Bible classes. And the decision to follow the direction of God and march around the city in that prescribed manner, just as God had directed, that was a critical moment for them. Come all the way to the New Testament and think about the cross and the obligation that rested upon the shoulders of our Lord to endure such harsh treatment and to be crucified on the cross when he could have, as we so often sing, called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. A critical moment. Think about Pentecost and the responsibility that rested upon the shoulders of the apostles to remain in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, to begin that point and that moment when they would take the keys of the kingdom, open the doors, and usher in thousands of people to be citizens of the greatest kingdom ever known. Think about the conversion of Saul, a man who was persecuting the church, destroying Christians, wreaking havoc of the kingdom of God. A critical moment of conversion and the way that God used that man for good and for his cause. Come even forward in time, even closer to our day. Think of the period of the Restoration Movement, when men got tired of denominational religion and wanted to go back to the Bible and do Bible things in Bible ways and speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Critical moments in history where the decisions and the direction chosen by men made a profound impact on the cause of Christ. Just, we wonder where we would be today if it had not been for people in our recent past who chose to redirect things and square their feet according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about when I mention critical moments. We can see them in Bible history, but we can see them too in recent history, even in our day. Bring it even closer to our community here in Roanoke. And think about the time. I don't have a lot of details about it, but someone at some point in history, a critical moment, decided to begin the church in this community. And then sometime later, perhaps as we have mentioned 50 years ago, some others decided to put a building, facilities to be used on this property. And we are here today because in a critical moment in time in our past, people made good and sound decisions. I think about our leadership here in the congregation that makes up the 2018-2019 Roanoke Church of Christ. People transition and people transition out. But the people who have been here over the past few years, who have been involved in a critical moment to decide to build new facilities and to expand our possibilities in our effort, in our duty and responsibility to evangelize this community. We are on such a threshold. No less important than many of those things that we see in our Bibles, no less important than the individuals and the times involved in restoration history. As far as Roanoke is concerned, the decisions that we are making now and over the next few years are critical moments to the cause of Christ. Think now about extraordinary needs. Along with these critical moments, there are often extraordinary needs that take great efforts to meet and accomplish. You think about some in our Bible classes, just some things that came to my mind that we have considered recently. Think about Joseph being sold into Egypt, but how his brothers intended that for evil, but God intended it for good to keep many souls alive this day, Joseph says. There was a regional famine, a famine that affected many people, and yet here he has come to this place for such a time as this to meet a critical need. He seemed to be the right man for the time. He had the blessings of God that allowed him to be a good steward and a good planner and purposer for the resources that were available in Egypt. And his decision, his efforts, met extraordinary needs. I think of, just bringing it forward into the New Testament, the famine of the first century. We read about in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, where a New Testament prophet by the name of Agabus prophesied that there would be a period of great dearth and famine throughout the world. And so this, we realize this in the famine and the distress that is felt especially in Jerusalem. And we see congregations of God's people coming together and working together to meet those extraordinary needs. In Romans chapter 15, verse 26, for instance, Paul wrote, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." Congregations of God's people, just like us, not fantasies or mystical congregations that we aspire to be like or anything like that. Normal people, just like us, who lived in a different time than us, but who faced moments when there were extraordinary needs, and they met them. They met them to the point that people glorified God because of the actions that they chose and the efforts that they put forth. You know, we live in a time and a day of famine. And not necessarily a famine of bread and of water, as Amos says, but a famine in hearing the word of God. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Our community is full of people who need to hear the gospel. People of other races, people of other nationalities. I thought yesterday when the ladies were having us unload the truck, there was a rack that was left on the truck, and we didn't need to get it off. And it was a rack filled with material that was in Spanish. And I thought, well, in some places, they need to provide that material because there's perhaps evangelistic efforts that reach others of other nationalities and races. And I thought, you know, next time they come, we may need that. There is a famine of hearing the word of God in our community. And so while maybe the New Testament church dealt with some things we don't deal with, a famine of bread and water, an even more important and pressing need is to get the gospel to people. And so how does that relate to us? Well, we have a responsibility and a duty as a congregation of God's people to not just sit here and to encourage one another, but to reach out and to teach people the lost and save their souls. We really have two duties, to save people and keep people saved. And that affects the people outside this building, that affects the people in this building. So as we as a congregation work to enable ourselves to do more and to reach more, I personally, Joey Davis speaking here, want to make sure that I am of the mind to meet critical needs as they arise. And they are all around us. We need leaders. We've got a fine eldership, men who are qualified for the work that they've been charged to do. And we have great deacons who, as Tom Holland said, the deacon word deacon means kicking up dust. And they kick up dust. They work hard. But they can't do this job forever. And 50 years from now, many of them probably won't be doing the same jobs that they're doing now. We have to make sure that we are preparing for the future. And an extraordinary need that this congregation has is to continue to develop leadership. We need doers. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. We need facilities. And we are working on that presently. But when we get there, brethren, we need to use it. And use it in the right way. And there is always a need for money. I don't preach a lot about money. I don't do a lot of sermons that reach into people's pockets. But that's Bible truth. And it's a need. And you and I need to think about that. What are the present circumstances demanding of this congregation? And if I'm going to meet extraordinary needs, there are some financial needs that need to be met. And I hope you share this sentiment too in your own mind. I want to make sure that I am doing that. It's a lot like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, a passage that we often quote in worship or read relative to our giving. Just listen. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Paul, in giving the church direction that should be followed every Lord's Day, also said that an important aspect of this is there's no gatherings when I come. Let's store up regularly and consistently so that the funds are available and ready to be used when extraordinary needs arise. Critical moments, extraordinary needs, and in the third place tonight, and the last place, God-honoring possibilities. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to read these verses. I want you to think about God-honoring possibilities. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast to you of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. You know, Paul goes on to talk about our giving ought to be from a ready and willing heart, not a grudging necessity. But Corinth was commended for their generous, expeditious liberality in the department of giving monetarily, because it takes those kinds of resources in our day and time especially to do things and accomplish the work that we're tasked with accomplishing. Their demonstration of faith garnered much good fruit to their credit and to the glory of God. And you and I, we're no different today. We're not separated by time, but not in the reality of the needs from those first century churches in any way. We live in a time where there's opportunity to obey God, to cooperate one with another in our mutual efforts, to make the pooling of our resources to make an impact in our work here. And in that, we honor God and we save souls. So tonight, after services are over, as our elders talk to us about where we're at in this process, I would encourage all of us to do what I purpose to do tonight, and that is to pay close attention and listen to their request and their challenges to us, and to examine those in the light of the things that we've considered tonight: critical moments, extraordinary needs, and God-honoring possibilities, and ask myself, how can I help meet these needs in these various areas? I can tell you, not just as a preacher, but as a Christian and a member of this congregation, I'm excited to be a part of this period of time in the history of the church in Roanoke, where we are facing critical moments, we're facing extraordinary needs, and we have really opportunities before us to glorify God in ways that will be a benefit to us and to our community. I want to personally answer this question, these things that I put before us tonight, for myself, and I hope that you will do the same. How can I respond to the appeals of our leadership for help in various areas? Tonight, I want to, as we bring this service to a close, extend the Lord's invitation to any who may be present who need to obey the gospel. It's a critical moment in your life if you have never become a Christian. And there's an extraordinary need for you tonight to be baptized in water, to have your sins washed away, to be added to the body of Christ, to become a Christian. And what an opportunity to glorify God and putting the name of His Son on through baptism, so that you can be a child of God, a light to the community, and even a part of this congregation in the great work that's being done here. If you have such a need tonight, or if you have any need that we can assist you with, we're certainly going to sing a song to encourage and be ready to assist you if you have a need tonight. If you'll come as we stand and sing.